This is Topcast, a podcast made for all you participants of International Week.
Welcome to Topcasts. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the behind-the-scenes lives of your favorite members of the Top Desk team. My name is Pep Rosenfeld from the Boom Chicago Theater in Amsterdam, and with me is Boro Beresh, who is the product owner at Top Desk. And Boro, how you doing? Welcome.
Hi, I'm good. I'm a little bit nervous. This is my first ever podcast, so.
Oh, yeah, I think you're going to be fine. I've done this like twice before, so I think we're both masters. Never let us know it's your first time. In fact, I'm going to say hello again, and then you say, "Oh, I do these all the time. I feel really confident." So that's what. Hey, Boro, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm getting a bit bored with this podcast, so.
I hear you. Well, hopefully we'll jazz it up for you, so we won't bore you with this because I know you do this all the time. Boro, we've got 20 minutes to ask you 10 questions. I'm going to start the clock right now. So the 20 minutes is ticking. I'm going to be in charge of that. You don't have to watch that. But let me ask this. You, in your own words, you work with a development team and product management to create awesome software, right? But that's not the question. The question is, what is your biggest responsibility outside of work? Because we want to learn about you away from your Top Desk desk.
I would say that has to be my cat. His name is Arnyék. This means shadow in Hungarian. And well, he's the only creature that solely relies on me to, you know, stay alive. So I feel like that's quite a big responsibility.
I mean, I know it sounds like a big responsibility, but like, and I'm, you know, full disclosure, I'm a bit of a dog person. All right. I've got a dog and the dog leans on me quite a bit. Cats, I mean, let's face it, if you died today, which God forbid, like nobody wants that, but if you did, I feel like good old Shadow would do just fine, right?
Yeah, probably. Well, he has a little bit of a trust issue with people, but once he gets out of my apartment, then I think he would survive.
question number two. What a question two. You are, I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, but you're 29 years old. And I wonder Indeed. If you can take us back in time to 18-year-old Boro and think about what were your dreams and your fears when you were just 18?
Well, so that was my last year of high school. And I think I wanted to be a journalist or a translator. I was never too sure about what I want, to be honest. So I never had these big goals. And I never had big ambitions that I wanted to achieve at all costs. And I think that was kind of my biggest fear, that I would never have that. I would never, you know, find my calling. Yeah, that's, I think, pretty much it.
Well, what happened to your journalist/translation dreams? And I guess also, did you ever consider, you know, just translating newspapers and you sort of get two birds with one stone?
Yeah, well, I started uni. I studied English and I realized I don't really have the patience to write that long stories or to spend that much time with translating stuff. So I, it was just not really for me.
Fair enough. So I feel like that's a dream pursued, and then you just said, you know, forget it. What about that biggest fear? Do you feel like you've discovered your calling?
I would not say so. I mean, I still don't have like huge ambitions. I don't have this very clear image in my head that this or that is the thing that I want to achieve. But I'm actually really okay with this. I don't feel like I need to have that. So. Yeah, I'm just happy with my small goals.
All right, well, maybe that leads me into the third question, which is, you know, what are the biggest lessons you've picked up since you were 18? What are the lessons you've picked up in the last 11 years? It sounds like you don't have the same dreams or fears, but I wonder what are your biggest takeaways from your last 11 years walking on this planet?
Yeah, so this is going to sound cheesy, I think. But, well, first of all, is that it's okay to not, like, you know what you want. Not everyone has that. And also that it's pretty much up to me what I want to achieve or what I want to be able to do. And I can basically do anything I really want to do or go wherever I want to go. I think that... That's my big lesson from especially my past years with Top Desk. I don't think I ever imagined that I would be a product owner. Well, I didn't even know that this is actually a job. So
it's hard to have a goal that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
There's no 11-year-old child goes like, dear diary, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I don't know what it is. I just know I want to do that.
Well, that's pretty much how I went to my product owner interview 2 years ago. So
I'm glad it paid off.
Yeah.
Well, if the lesson is you can do whatever you want and there's nothing holding you back, then I just would tell you there's no need for you to get married and have children because that will change your understanding of the world.
Well, luckily, I don't have such goals. So
no,
far, so.
No, and your cat doesn't hold you back from doing whatever you want. Next question is, do you follow the news at all?
Not too much, to be honest.
Not.
So whatever comes across my Facebook news feed or whatever I hear from my friends, but not, you know, consciously.
Well, what is your biggest, what's your social media of choice? Are you, you make TikTok videos?
No, actually.
What? We've had a whole lockdown for quarantine and you haven't been making TikTok videos?
No, I know. I don't know why. Maybe I'm getting too old or something, but I never got involved with TikTok, so.
Well, what's your go-to social media?
I would say Facebook and Instagram, depending on what I want to see when I'm scrolling.
The classics. But, classics.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice that you're on Facebook because then, you know, you and your mom can communicate with each other.
Yeah, at least.
Bodo, the next question is one that we asked you before you got here. So I actually know the answer, but I'm going to pretend I don't know the answer. But is there one news event that even you, who is a self-admitted non-follower of the news, is there one news event you will never forget?
Well, I'm curious what you think you know, because I had two answers for this and I sent both, but I don't know which one ended up where.
Well, so here, I've got a sound cue, so I'm going to play the cue. Let's play the sound bite.
These are the sounds from space detected by Voyager 1, an unexpected gift to scientists who are now certain they know where the probe is. The spacecraft is now the first human-made object to leave the solar system and pass into interstellar space.
So as you can hear, we chose the story you suggested about the most recent pope being elected. No, it was yeah. No. So what is it about the Voyager 1 that spoke to you so much? Why is that the most meaningful news story from recent history?
Yeah, well, so I guess when I was a kid, I was really into space stuff. I had a big poster on my bedroom wall about the solar system and its planets, and
was
about
this,
the
was
distance.
It was it pre Pluto or post Pluto? Was Pluto?
It was pre Pluto, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
pre-Pluto.
That still pains me. That I learned a lie, or I don't know. In my universe, Pluto is a planet.
I've got a Rick and Morty episode to recommend to you, but that that's neither here nor there. You go on. Tell us about the poster.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. So it was just always there on my bedroom wall. And I would see these huge, ridiculously huge numbers written on it with the distance that each planet is or how far they are from us and how big they are. And it was never something I could actually understand. It was just huge numbers. And like, I think it was in 2013 that Voyager 1 left our solar system. And I remember that... So it was for her, it took them more than 30 years to travel that far because she was launched sometime in the late 1970s. And 30 years, that's more time for her than like my whole existence right now. And it was it just brought like the whole huge numbers and the big drawings on my poster to some sort of reality. And that was, I think, the first time I actually felt like, oh shit, this is real.
And you talk about as a kid, did you realize that those numbers were so huge you couldn't quite understand them? Because I think that's a pretty profound thing to realize as a kid.
I don't think I remember that. I don't think like as a small kid I did. As growing up, and you know, when you get into some more advanced mathematics in school, and then you learn about like not just it's not just like I don't know 1 million is the biggest number you can think of. Then that was around. So when I was already in that time of my life, and I first realized that I don't even know what these numbers mean.
Are you still drawn to space and space travel? Does it still interest you?
Yeah, a little bit. I just last week, I think it was, that the Perseids, I'm not quite sure how they are called in English, but it was their peak season. And with my brothers, we went to some we went out of town to see some of them, and it was pretty cool. We stayed there until 1 a.m. and yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. We're gonna go ahead and move on to the next question. Okay, I mentioned COVID-19, and obviously we can't, you know, talk because we're human beings in the world right now. We can't talk without mentioning COVID-19, so I'm going to go ahead and mention it. It's dominated the world for the past couple of months, and I wonder, how has it affected you? How has it affected you in your life?
Well, to be honest, I feel like it had a huge impact because I used to be going out a lot. I was always out on a Friday night with friends, and I obviously don't do that anymore. And I miss that a lot. I miss going to pubs and concerts and any kind of entertainment from, you know, from the times when we could actually get together. And also, I would travel a lot, for example, to Delft to meet up with fellow product owners and PM folks. And that's also not the case anymore. We only meet online. And that's also weird because, like, last year I went to the Netherlands 5 times altogether. So, yeah, it's a big, big difference compared to that. I have not been abroad this year at all.
And so I'm just curious, as someone who is also not originally from the Netherlands, but now I live in the Netherlands, I'm just curious, what is it that you feel like you're missing out on by not being here? Because, like, the lunch has not gotten any better. It's still a cheese sandwich and milk.
Well, again, this is going to sound cheesy, but it's just really, really different to meet the people you work with every day. Like a face-to-face conversation, it's just much more valuable and it's easier to bond. And we have now new people in the department, and it's just not the same to, you know, get to know each other in a video call. So, yeah. And also, like, the crazy Friday boroughs, I like that. We used to have that in the Budapest office as well, but that's also not the case anymore. So,
and have you done one of those? And I'm gonna call it a lame one, but have you done one of those lame, like, drinks over Zoom where everybody's drinking and you're on Zoom, but it's kind of awkward and you have to take turns talking? Have you tried that?
Yeah. We did that. We had some home office boroughs. Yeah, it's not the same.
Now I have another question about being at home, because the stereotype is that everybody picked up a hobby while they were at home, right, on lockdown. And that's why I mentioned the TikTok videos earlier, because that was kind of a thing. Oh, everybody's making TikTok videos, or everybody's making sourdough bread. That was like a big thing in the Netherlands. Oh, everybody's making sourdough bread, and if they're not making it, they're posting pictures of it on Instagram. And I wonder, and I will be disappointed, I'm going to admit it, if you say sourdough bread, but was there any hobby that you picked up that at least you have that to fall back on?
Well, then I don't know if it's going to be disappointing, but not really. What I did, I mainly caught up on some series that I've been wanting to watch, and I never really had time to do so. So,
all right,
I watched a lot of TV shows.
I don't think you're the only one. I caught up on some TV myself. What was your go-to? What was the one that you watch? What's your guiltiest pleasure? How about that? What's your guilty pleasure that you watched?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a tough question. I don't feel like this is guilty, but I can just put on Friends anytime, and then it's still entertaining no matter from which episode I start and how long it runs. Yeah, that's kind of my go-to show if I just, you know, want to have something fun in the background.
Don't you feel like the guys in Friends are weirdly prudish? Like, all 6 of them are weirdly prudish.
I don't know. I never thought about that, because one of the criticism that got to the show lately is that it's not politically correct the way we would like it to be in 2020. So it's a weird thing to say. Yeah, I don't know.
You mean because there's literally 0 black people in the show? And and the guys are kind of homophobic, aren't they? The guys are homophobic and there's literally no black people.
Yeah, there are a lot of such jokes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what's the proudest thing? What's the thing where you're like, God, I've been meaning to watch this, and I finally watched it, and I feel good about myself because it's an important piece of art that I've watched.
Important piece of art. I don't think I have any of those. But I caught up on The Umbrella Academy. And I think it's for the future to decide whether that's an important piece of art. But I think it's a very unique TV show.
Hey, season two was great. Season two was fantastic.
I know.
Yeah, it was great. I could talk to you about all day on about that. Unfortunately, that's a totally different podcast, which is called Pep is Weird About Superhero Shows. but I couldn't agree more. All right, I'm gonna get past this. Otherwise, I'll be talking about how number five is crazy powerful all day. You mentioned travel and that you it's been a drag for you because you haven't traveled in 6 months, and usually you travel all the time. What's your best holiday memory? And I guess implied is a traveling holiday memory.
Yeah. So in 2017, I went to Cornwall, southwest of UK, with an old uni friend. And what we did was like a 10-day long hiking trip around the shores, and it was amazing. Like, the country itself is a really, really beautiful country. It's full of wonderful, you know, crazy, big, edgy shores and huge waves, and then sometimes rain falls, and then it falls from all directions. So it's actually pretty scary as well. And it was like between 15 to 25 kilometers per day of walking.
Wow.
So it was a little bit painful, but it was also super peaceful. So
25 kilometers a day. So you average that trips 25 kilometers a day with the amount you walk these days, and it probably gets very close to 0 kilometers a day, even though.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you say this was a very close uni friend. Is this the sort of friend that you're in touch with all the time, or one of those friends where you just, when you see that person, then bam, you fall back into the friendship?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. We don't talk like every day, only just every now and then. But when we do get in touch, then it's pretty easy to, you know, catch up on whatever has been happening to us.
Have you been keeping in touch better or worse with people while you've been at home? Because I find that I talk to my parents much more now that they're at home. At some point, my mother was like, I'll bet you're waiting for there to be a vaccine so you don't have to call me every week. And I had to go, ha, ha, ha.
Well, with some folks, I do talk more, but some we talk less. So I don't know. I guess it depends on both parties. For some people, it's comfy to use the internet for keeping in touch, and for others, like I guess older generations, it's not the same. I do call my grandma more often than before.
Yeah, I feel like with grandparents, or for me, because I'm a extremely old individual, my parents, I know that they're at home and I know that they're not going out. I know that they must be extra bored and probably extra worried, so I'm calling them extra. So that's the present. Now let me ask you, what are your plans for the future? And it could be whatever the biggest plan is. And let's assume that, you know, the plan for the future is not, you know, wear a mask and bump elbows with everybody you meet forever.
Yeah, well, short term plan is to get my driver's license. I'm already doing driver's lessons actually, and I want to get the license itself by the end of this year. It's a little bit of a lengthy process in Hungary. I don't know if it's different in every country. I assume so. So that's, I think, the shortest term goal. And on a little bit longer term.
Wait, I gotta interrupt. You don't in Hungary, you don't get a driver's license till you're 29 years old.
Well, if you live in Budapest and you don't put any effort into, you know, learning to drive because you can enjoy the fabulous public transport, then they won't throw it after you.
In the Netherlands, you can't get a driver's license, I think, till you're 18. And of course, you know, where I come from in the United States, I mean, you didn't get one when you're 16. The only thing that's easier to get than a driver's license is a gun. But wow. So you're going to get a driver. Where will you drive? Where's the first place you really want to drive?
Ooh, well, anywhere in the country, I think. Probably to Lake Balaton, which is like the only big lake in Hungary, or the biggest one, and everyone knows it, and it's kind of compulsory for Hungarians to visit it every year.
Famous Lake Balaton.
Yes.
All of us listening are like, oh yeah, of course, I've been wanting to drive there myself. okay, well, let's leave the future behind, and let me get back to the here and now. What's the one thing that you're most proud of from yourself or from your life? What are you most proud of?
Well, to be fair, I think it's my job because, like I already said, I was never really ambitious. I never had big ideas of what I want to do. And compared to that, I think I ended up at a pretty cool company in a pretty cool position.
Did they tell you you had to say that in order to be on the podcast? Did they made you say
no,
that?
No.
Blink twice if you hate it.
No, I was.
And what about a non-work thing? What's your non-work thing that you're most proud of?
Well, yeah, that's kind of like the life I manage. So I've been financially independent for years now. I don't have to, you know, call my parents for support. And it's not necessarily a very easy thing to do in Hungary. And I think it's, I think I'm really, really lucky. And of course, well, you asked what I'm proud of, so I can just say I'm lucky. But I really like that I can maintain this kind of lifestyle. Like in normal days, I get to travel if I want to. I get to spend ridiculous amounts of money on entertainment, and I keep feeding my cat, and he's still alive. So yeah,
I think that's a good thing to be proud of. You've earned a life where you can do whatever you want, and if whatever you want is just rewatch Friends season 7 episode 4, the one with the sandwich, then God bless you. I think that's fantastic. Last question. Yeah. Last question. We got 30 seconds left for the last question. If there's one thing you could change in your life in this world right now, what would it be? What's the one big change that you would make in your life right now?
Okay, I only have a sad answer for this, but that's how my grandma is, because she's getting old and her mental and physical state is really not how it used to be. And it's really, really depressing to watch her decline. And if I could change anything, I think that would be the one thing I would change.
Oh, that's awful to hear. And I see why you'd want to change that. And I also see, oh, that's our time. That's our time right there. I see it even is better that you call her so often. That's fantastic. You call her so much. Bodo, we had 10 questions, 20 minutes. You nailed it. I can tell that you're the person that does podcasts every other day. Your experience came shining through. Any last word you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, well, it's not the podcast every day, but, you know, the PO being or trying to be prepared.
That sounds great. Well, you go feed Shadow, and I hope to talk to you again. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you all for joining us on TopCast, where we take a deep dive into the behind-the-scenes lives of your favorite top desk teammates.